Two scripture readings for today. The first is a continuation of what we read last week from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You can follow along if you find the right page. 9:26. Paul writes, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you can say that you were baptized in my name. Oh, I did baptize in the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized anyone or not. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And second, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and you can read along on page 785. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested," that's John the Baptist, "he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled: 'Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near.' As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." In our hearing, our reading, our living. Last week was a longish sermon. I don't apologize, but I'm the guy that processes the sound and puts it on the website, and when I got done cutting out the stuff before the sermon and cutting off stuff after the sermon and, you know, kind of narrowed things down. It was long. But I gave you a couple paragraphs from Martin Luther King Jr. instead of the typical soundbite that we get, the 6 or 8 words. And I hope that was worth it. This week I'll go short. One more comment. See, I got all this crossed off. I ended last week with a teaser. What are we facing in the next 4 years? And I said, come back and we'll see. And the marches yesterday are part of the answer. I'm proud of all of you for your time, for your energy, for your effort. Whether in Washington or in Raleigh or in Greensboro, you represent hope for our country. The marches and protests and speeches yesterday were a beginning. There is much more work to do. Yesterday, one of the speakers, and I think it was Gloria Steinem, said, "We have more work to do than just pushing the send button." Today's New Testament lesson, the reading from the Corinthians, provides a stark reminder of what can happen to a community or church when things go awry. The Corinthian church had much going for it. All of those names that Paul mentioned, they were powerful leaders in the Corinthian church, people of goodwill who had honest differences. The church was rife with divisions. And if you think religion and politics shouldn't mix, you really haven't read the letters of Paul. He mixed it all the time. And Paul didn't mince words. He told them, be of one mind. Before yesterday, I was a little afraid that the protests would fracture into something of what Paul described. There were a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of competing voices, all demanding to be heard. Now, in Paul's case, he somehow kept the Corinthian church going by urging them to focus on what was important. And I think finally the man who had no family had to become the parent who said, enough is enough. For the women's marches, for the protest, I didn't sense that there was a strong parent who finally pulled everything together by force of her will. It's probably because the leaders were women. Allowed conversation, allowed discussion, allowed dissension. And somehow things came together. For me, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit. Compromise is hard. The political process is hard. I'm not very good at it, frankly. I get frustrated by all the talking and the posturing, and somehow I miss the nuance that's there between the competing speakers and points that are being made. I have a hard time just keeping up. But anyway, things didn't fracture yesterday. I hope they don't fracture today or tomorrow or in the weeks to come. In something of a bookend for these New Testament lessons, the church being the one end of these readings, the other end is Jesus calling his disciples. Jesus was a stranger to the life at sea. He probably didn't know anything about fishing. Whatever he said to those two pairs of brothers, Simon and Andrew, and then Peter and James, the message they remembered was, "Come and follow me." And they probably didn't know much about fishing for people, or organizing a movement, or establishing a religion. But they dropped everything and followed Jesus. Yesterday's efforts came through the voices or two messages by two women, probably thinking the same thing about the same time. This is how instant messaging and all this stuff works now, I guess. Two people who get a similar idea at a similar time caught the imagination of millions of people worldwide. That's something. Let me leave you with some words from a wise old politician. Societies and cultures are really complicated. This is not mathematics. This is biology and chemistry. These are living organisms, and it's messy. And your job as a citizen and as a decent human being is to constantly affirm and lift up and fight for treating people with kindness and respect and understanding. You should anticipate that at any given moment there's going to be flare-ups of bigotry that you may have to confront, or flare-ups of bigotry that may be inside you that you have to vanquish. And it doesn't stop. And you can't get in a fetal position about it. You don't start worrying about the apocalypse. You say, okay, where are the places where I can push to keep it moving forward? You recognize those words? That was Barack Obama. Pretty good politician, I think. Jesus said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people." So put down those nets and follow Jesus. Amen.